Can you imagine? Have you ever got an unexpected invitation? You know, an invitation that just blew your socks off. That you know, you weren't expecting it at all. You opened it up and you got this invitation and you were like, wow.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Shepherds. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Shepherds.
And can you imagine what they must have thought? The glory of the Lord. And I don't know how theologically educated they would have been to go back and think about all those places in the Old Testament where the glory came down, but this could very well be a deep thought on a holy night. Man, what does this mean that this glory has come down and shone around us? That it causes you to just stop in your tracks and just begin to think, man, what in the world is going on here? What is happening here that everything is lit up? And so it must have humbled them as they thought about the fact that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. As we continue to look at maybe some of the deep thoughts that the shepherds were looking at, we see the shepherds must have thought, wow! Wow! I remember back when I was in seminary, and you know, I would teach and preach the Bible, you know, anywhere I could. I mean, you know, people, you know, a lot of preachers, they want to step right into the pulpit. You know how I got my start? You know, I got my start teaching Friday night Bible studies to five people. You know, I got my start driving an hour on Wednesday night to teach a small group of people the Bible. And me and Pastor McFarland, we would go and we would, you know, we would teach these Bible studies. And man, we were just excited. Man, I would study hard for these five people on Friday night. You know, sometimes we might get a little bit more. I would study hard for these people on Wednesday just to preach the Word of God. And I remember one night, Pastor McFarland and I, we were driving down to Brookneal, Virginia, to teach a Wednesday night Bible study. And I said, wow, preacher! And he got kind of shocked. He said, what? I said, man, just think. One day we're going to get paid for doing this. Right? I mean, I was doing it for nothing then. I mean, I loved it. And I love it now. But I said, just think, man, wow! One day we're going to get paid for doing this. And can you imagine the shepherds? They must have thought, wow! Why did God choose us? Why did God choose us to be the first to hear about the birth of the Messiah? Wow! Why did God choose us, other than Mary and Joseph, to be the first to see the Messiah? And wow, why did God choose us to be the first to go and tell other people that the Messiah was born? God stepped out of heaven and God became a baby, and it was announced not to kings, not to potentates, not to priests, not to scribes, not to Pharisees, but it was announced to stinking shepherds to do this. And man, I'm going to say some things in here in a second, but when we think about who we are no better than the shepherds. In the sight of God, it says that all of our righteousness is like a filthy rag. And so we are no better than the shepherds, but yet and still, God chose us to be his messenger. God chose us to carry his word. Deep thoughts on a holy night. If you go to that next slide, the awe. That when they finally got there and they looked and they saw this baby, the awe. They were just going about their business, right? Doing things that shepherds do. And then all of a sudden, the glory lights up. And they get this divine invitation to go to Bethlehem and see this babe lying in the manger. And then they go, and they get there. What do you think they were thinking? What do you think they were thinking? These angels just show up and start proclaiming out in the field while we're out there by night? And then they just tell us to go? And that we go and we come to the, you know, and they went to the exact place where they were supposed to go. And as they're there, they see this baby who the angels proclaimed. And now they're standing there. Yeah, have you ever been to someplace famous? I remember when my kids were growing up, we went to Niagara Falls. And I remember just when we got to the falls, just standing there and just being in awe of Niagara Falls and all that Niagara Falls represented. And believing that, man, I'm here. I heard about this place for a long time, but now I'm here. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been to some place that you heard about and you finally got there and you were just in awe? You just want to. I mean, you know, sometimes you have so many thoughts, or sometimes you might just take one thought and dwell on it. But here were these shepherds, and no doubt they thought about who they were and how they had to call, and they just, wow. Sometimes we need to stop, and we need to think about who God is and meditate on the power of God. And that's what the shepherds, you know, when they came, they just were in awe at this baby. So I want to challenge us today. And what is the challenge that we have? You know, what are your deep thoughts as you reflect on a holy night? We've been challenging you to think deeply about this time. You know, it's very easy to have shallow thoughts. And the choir sang about it this morning, that it's not about the gifts. It's not about the presence. But we can get so wrapped up in the gifts and the presence that it takes away from our deep thoughts. And we have these shallow thoughts. But we ought to begin to have these deep thoughts as the shepherds had. And so what is one deep thought? You know, the shepherds probably thought that, man, we are ceremonially unclean. That we can't even go to the temple, right? We can't even go to the temple. But yet and still, God chose us. God looked at us. God selected us. These shepherds that were out in the field at night. And as I said, we are no better than the shepherds. Romans 5:8 says that God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die for you when you were all clean and righteous and holy, sitting up in somebody's church. Christ died for you when you were rolling around, and I know this is not all of us, so I'm not, if this doesn't include you, then it doesn't include you. But Christ died for us when we were rolling around in a stupor, drunk, with vomit thrown up all on our suit and lay it out. How do I know it? Because it happened to me one night. I was so drunk, I couldn't even get in my front door. Passed out on my front door, threw up, had a shark skin suit. As filthy and as nasty and as ungodly as I was that night. God, Bill, I can't believe it, but I love you. As I said again, maybe that wasn't you. Maybe that wasn't your testimony. But sometimes we can be so righteous that we got righteous vomit all over us. And God looks at us and says, all that stuff that you got on you, that I still love you. A deep thought on a holy night. A deep thought for Pastor Glaze. Step back. I see you that night laying in front of that door. A deep thought. But God still loves you. God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. I can't fathom that. I can't comprehend that. How that when I was laying in my own filth, shaking my fist in God's face and saying, let me do my own thing, that God loved me. As I reflect upon a holy night, and as I think about the shepherds and how that many, and you know, as I was reading, there seems to be some controversy as to the status of shepherds at the time of Jesus. But at some point in time, that they were considered the scourge of the earth. At some point in time, they were considered to be of a lower rung. Now, again, I know there's some controversy about that, so I just want to make you clear that. But at some point, that was the case. And yet and still, God loved them. God chose them to bear the good news. God chooses me, who was an outcast from his kingdom. That the shepherds were outcasts of society. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Let's look at a guy who was outcast from the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 9. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He was outcast. He was outside the kingdom of God. He wasn't in the loop with God. He went unto the priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, what way was that? Followers of Christ. He was outside. He was an outcast. Paul was an outcast. If he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone a light round about him, and a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, and I believe this is where he got saved, right? This is his salvation experience. What will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And then look at verse 15. At the end of this conclusion, verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Paul was an outcast. The shepherds were outcasts. You and I were outcasts, but what did God do? God chose us to go forth and to serve him. You know, sometimes I just stop and think that a man who grew up on the streets of Braddock, into all kind of craziness, into all kind of foolishness, that God chose me. And I've had the opportunity to preach before thousands of people. And as I preached, I thought to myself, why do I deserve to stand here? Why am I here? Yo, what gives me any right to be able to stand here and to preach, whether it's before thousands? I remember one time I went and preached at a church on a Sunday, and there was only two people there. Whether it's before two people or whether it's before thousands, that God chose me. I don't know what your calling is. I don't know what it is that God has called you to do, but there's a call on everyone's life. God has a call on everyone's life. And we ought to stand amazed. We ought to stand in awe the fact that God chooses us to do whatever it is that he calls us to do. He said he could call the stones to cry out, but he called you. God chose and uses me, who was an outcast from his kingdom. You see, when the world counts you out, God counts you in. When the world gives up on you, God sends you an application for service. Man, we got people sitting here today that you know what your past is. You know what you did. And sometimes you ought to just stand back and think about the fact that God chose you. I can't believe that God chose me. I can't believe God chose a man who I've shared my testimonies that whenever I had the opportunity to speak at a college class and I had to give my report, that I was shaking like that, sweating, stayed up the night before. And after I got finished, I said to myself, I'm never taking another class where I got to speak again. And God chose me. You know, sometimes I go home on Sunday afternoon and I'll just be reflecting over the message. And I'll say to myself, man, I can't believe that you just preached a message to a congregation of people. How did you do that? And I know that it's because God chose me. Just like he chose the shepherds. And let me close by saying this, that when you think about the shepherds, here's some deep thoughts. Here's some deep thoughts on what it is God has called you to do, what it is the shepherds were doing. Here's some deep thoughts. Here's some deep thoughts, right? Their thoughts on their commitment. They were living in the fields. They were living in the fields. They weren't living in the city. They were not living in the palace. They were not living in some decked out place. It says that they were living in the fields on a full-time basis. What did that show? That shows their commitment, that they were committed. And that's why even Jesus said that the hireling, whenever problems come, the hireling leaves. But the shepherd is committed. What are your deep thoughts on your commitment? The things that you have committed to do, what are your deep thoughts? Are your deep thoughts, Lord, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to honor this commitment that I've made to you. Lord, that's my deep thoughts. And I'm going to ponder the commitment that I've made. I think the problem with the church sometimes is that we don't seriously think about what we have committed to do. Because if we thought about what we were committed to do, we would have a little different attitude, a little different idea about how we are to handle things. These shepherds, they were committed. Secondly, thoughts on their concern. They were keeping watch. They wanted to make sure that the flock was not in danger. Keeping watch. What does that mean? That means to watch over. That means that you're looking for someone trying to invade, you're looking for somebody trying to do harm, that you're concerned about what it is that God has called you to do. Some deep thoughts, a passion. You know, I remember when I was having my problem with my leg, and it seemed like over a year or two period, it just wasn't getting better. I kept getting these infections in my leg. And I remember being at home one Saturday, and I was watching television, and I saw about people who had leprosy, and how that even today, that this thing called leprosy is still alive and well. And I remember they showed two people. They showed a little boy who had leprosy, and all of his, it ate away his hands and his feet, and he couldn't get around. And they showed a lady who had leprosy, and it began to eat away at her face, and her husband put her away. And I remember lying there, and I'm saying, man, all I'm dealing with is a leg that's infected. And I believe that it's going to get better. But here these people are dealing with a disease that has just crippled and ruined their lives. And my heart went out. And at that point, I began to support the American Leprosy Mission, because I was concerned. See, sometimes a thing has to touch your life in order for you to be concerned about something. You know, it's easy to look at things and say, you know, I mean, we watch the TV and we hear about people getting killed every day. Whether it's a mass shooting, whether it's a fire, whether it's an earthquake, a tsunami, whatever it might be. And in our mind, we say, you know, I hate to see stuff like that happen. I wish stuff like that didn't happen, right? But when it happens to us, we become concerned. When it happens to us, we take on the cause because it has touched our heart. These shepherds were concerned about their sheep. The safety of their sheep touched their heart, and they were going to do everything they could to make sure that there was no danger. What has touched your heart? What has gripped you? You know, we can't be passionless people. We can't be people who are going through life without a cause. We got to take up a cause. David, when he went up against Goliath, he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to fight? And all we need to do is look around us, and there is some cause that we can pick up, something that challenges us, something that takes us beyond ourselves. Is there not a cause? There should be that concern, and that we meditate, and that we have deep thoughts on the things that concern us. And then they had thoughts about their care. They kept watch by night. They were making sure that the flock had what they need to rest peacefully. They kept watch over the flock by night. There was a care. There was a concern. There was a commitment. But more than anything else, there was a care. I tell people all the time, it don't cost anything to run your mouth. That's free. Running your mouth is free. But now when you get up and you begin to show that care, and that's what these shepherds did. Even though they were outcasts, they had a commitment, they were concerned, and they had care. And no doubt those nights out there in those fields, that these things ran through their mind. And then all of a sudden, on one night, everything stopped, and the glory from heaven shone, and the angel appeared, and they went to see the babe lying in the manger. Man, I tell you what, those were some deep thoughts on the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Angels. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Shepherds, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Shepherds. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Shepherds, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. For now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.